Hi, I'm Andy Reid. Welcome to Honestly from HVCS, a podcast that brings you real, honest talk about health-related issues that most people find difficult to talk about. We're here to encourage you to advocate for your own health and to be your own champion. You know your body best and what your best life looks like. We give you the information you need to make informed choices. HVCS is a division of Cornerstone Family Healthcare. Coming up on this show.
It's kind of old-fashioned and it's outdated really to view recovery as this one-way linear journey where no one ever makes mistakes or no one ever has other things that they're battling along the way or they can't, you know, in the eyes of like whomever is deciding what recovery is.
My goal would be that anybody with opioid use disorder that is ready to access outpatient MAT can go into an emergency department, leave a correctional facility, or go into a drop-in center and have an appointment within 2 to 3 days at an outpatient clinic that will not turn them down because of poly substance use, will not turn them down because of their insurance status or concurrent mental health issues, and have access to a continuum of care when they're ready to receive it.
With us on today's show, I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah Santos and Stephanie Tedeschi. Sarah is Regional Care Coordinator for New York Matters HVCS, and Stephanie is a harm reduction specialist with HVCS also. Both of my guests have kindly given of their time to discuss their jobs at HVCS and to provide an insight as to what the aims of their programs are and the progress they are making. Sarah, Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Andy.
So what people won't know is that prior to this podcast, I discovered that you both have old vehicles. Sarah, what do you have?
I have a 1994 Jeep Cherokee.
A 1994 Jeep Cherokee. So that makes it, 28 years old? Yeah. And Stephanie, what do you have?
Sarah's got me beat. I have a 2001 Toyota Tacoma pickup.
Wow. So kudos to both of you for A, keeping vehicles on the road, and B, taking the time and energy to do that. I'm sure you both look cool when you're driving down the road.
I sure hope so. Yeah.
And I bet as time goes on, they become your baby and you don't want to get rid of them. And
absolutely. We both encounter sometimes going to a mechanic and the mechanic will suggest that, you know, a certain amount of work might not be worth it and maybe just scrap it and start over, and we refuse.
Don't even make trucks like I have anymore. I can't give up now.
Well, good for both of you. I remember sitting at my desk one day and I heard you, Stephanie, talking to a mechanic on the phone, and I was like, wow, that's going to cost a fortune.
I mean, so would a new car, to be fair. But yeah, it does take work. It takes work and dedication to keep the old cars on the road. But there's a charm about it. There's something you really can't find in cars that they're making more recently. So I wouldn't give up my truck for anything, I think, at this point.
Same.
Well, you know, as time goes on and you become more and more known in your field of work, people will say, there's that old truck, there's that old car. Yeah. It must be Sarah, it must be, you know, Stephanie coming, you know.
So. What's that? It's a bird, it's a plane. It's the harm reduction specialist, the squeaky brakes.
Excellent. Now, talking of your jobs, what is it you both do is a question, first question I want to ask. I'll come to you, Sarah. What is your job and what do you do?
Right. So I'm a regional care coordinator for New York Matters. And so Matters started in Buffalo, expanded across the capital region, and this winter brought on 9 regional care coordinators throughout New York State in order to expand what is an electronic referral platform that links people with opioid use disorder in crisis settings, such as emergency departments or correctional facilities, to longer term care, so outpatient MAT clinics. And I'm covering 6 counties in the Hudson Valley and basically networking with the different types of organizations I just mentioned in order to create a cohesive network of low threshold care that will meet people where they're at And I think that's a great time to turn it over to Stephanie and her role, speaking of low threshold care.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, what is it? I mean, you've been on this podcast before. And if I remember right, you were doing outreach in Ulster County. But nowadays, it's changed a little bit now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It was a really exciting opportunity for me to step up and take on this position with the Dutchess County Health Hub. We are opening up a low threshold buprenorphine clinic, which exists for HBCS. We have two others, one in Newburgh and one in Monticello. This is our first clinic here in Poughkeepsie. So we offer low threshold buprenorphine prescriptions to really anyone that's interested in participating in our program. That's kind of the beauty of it. Through all of the networking work that Sarah does, we're able to make connections with local community-based organizations that can help us reach out and find new clients, new patients for our program. And then we offer access to Suboxone prescriptions with really low barrier stipulation. So if people are using other substances, polysubstance use, sometimes other programs will turn them away for that, but our program does not.
Why is that? Why would another program turn someone away, whereas your program don't?
Well, those programs, I'm sure, all have their own reasons, and sometimes it's kind of old-fashioned, and it's outdated, really, to view recovery as this one-way linear journey where no one ever makes mistakes or no one ever has other things that they're battling along the way, or they can't, in the eyes of whomever is deciding what recovery is. Other programs might turn people away because they see it as if they're using other substances and they're not taking their recovery seriously or they're not on the journey. But through harm reduction and just more understanding of what recovery is, you kind of get to the point where you understand that people have different journeys and they have different experiences with addiction and recovery, where maybe somebody's use of a certain substance is problematic, but it's not problematic of another use. Maybe their addiction to opioids is really the thing that's getting them into a lot of trouble. It's causing disruption in their life, and that's the thing that they want to stop doing, but they have some other substances that they use that really aren't getting in the way of their happiness or well-being. And who are we to decide that they shouldn't be doing those things if it's not causing them issue?
And historically, if I could hop in, recovery was oftentimes framed as through an abstinence-based model.
Yeah.
But more and more, I feel as we look at addiction as being a disease, a chronic condition, we understand that relapse is sort of oftentimes part of the life cycle of that chronic condition. And ultimately, when we pass a year where we've, broken records in terms of opioid overdose deaths, we realize that, someone who has died can't recover. And so in order to meet people where they're at, sometimes we have to accept that stabilization takes time. And again, also trusting what their process is and allowing people to define their own recovery, because the most important thing is to keep somebody alive long enough that they can determine really what that is for them.
And recovery also, it can come in different phases. So maybe somebody is in polysubstance use and all of their substances or a lot of them are causing them issue, but tackling all of those things at the same time can just be too much for a person. Mm-hmm. Maybe it puts too much pressure. It's too much change. It's too much physical pressure. Going through withdrawal of multiple substances over time causes all kinds of long-term effects, and it can be weeks and months and sometimes years. So being able to maybe tackle one of those substances at a time and stabilize yourself and then move on to another thing that you want to deal with can be a much more effective way for people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always coming back to this idea of giving people the tools to make the decisions for themselves, putting it in their own hands, giving them what they need in order to accomplish their goals, and then letting them accomplish their goals at their own pace and with the guidance that they're asking for, instead of what is, being determined that they need by us.
Now, both of your programs are, am I right in saying, in their infancy?
Yeah.
How far along the continuum are you both? And what hurdles, if any, are you coming across? Sarah, I'll start with you.
Sure. So the Matters Network has existed in Buffalo and the Capital Region for some time. But of course, I'm in the infancy in the sense that I joined this winter in really expanding and supporting and developing the network in the Hudson Valley. So beginning in about January, I started to develop the network in Dutchess County, and I've moved into Sullivan and Orange. And as it stands right now, those networks are all basically ready to go live with a decent amount of emergency departments and outpatient clinics, pretty established. So the next sort of phase is looking into like peer organizations and other sort of wraparound services that the Matters Network wants to provide for folks. But sort of the groundwork in those three counties has been laid for the referral process to be able to take place. I just moved back to the Hudson Valley a year ago after I grew up here, but I had lived away across the country for about 10 years. So coming onto this position was very interesting because it was sort of a crash course of everything opioid use disorder, essentially in the whole Hudson Valley, which was a challenge, but honestly has been pretty like invigorating and gave me a really wonderful opportunity to make connections with different people that are invested in making change within their own organizations toward the end of accessibility. So it's been a challenge, but one that has been really enriching for me. So
excellent. Stephanie.
For me, okay, so, well, I'm in an interesting position because my program does exist to some extent in other places with HBCS. So we have been able to follow a bit of a model, but every office is different and every scenario is different. So for us, it's really just about figuring out how things are going to work here in Poughkeepsie. At this point, you know, it's so much of this technical stuff. We're waiting for the correct equipment to come in. We're a health hub, so we've got different machinery that we're using, telehealth machines, because we work with providers from all across the region, actually, that are partnered with Cornerstone Family Health. And just these little things, it's the tiny little bits, making sure that I have training on all the different systems that we're going to use to create appointments, making sure that, you know, our space, our physical space, the room that we're going to have for our clients to come to and have their appointments in is going to be welcoming and warm. We really want to make sure that people feel comfortable here and want to come back and spend time here. And that's been a big part of it. I mean, I am so lucky that I get to work with Sarah, who has been working so hard and making all these connections so that when the time is open for or when the time is ready for us to open, we will be able to start making connections with clients on day one. Mm-hmm. So that's an exciting part that Sarah is really taking part of, really taking that the lead in that as her position. Whereas I'm kind of here setting up the physical space that we're working in and creating that environment for when I get here.
You're in the physical space right now, or are you both?
We're in our office right now in the health hub.
So when is day one then, Steph?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we have been trying. I think that it's probably going to be next Monday. I think that we're taking this week to finish wrapping up all of our trainings. All of our equipment should be delivered, or we're going to figure out workarounds for the things that we haven't got yet. And then I think that we're going live on the Matters Network starting next Monday. And we'll be able to start receiving referrals from local emergency departments and drop-in centers and such.
Now, today is the 7th of March, 2022. Mm-hmm. Let's shoot forward to the 7th of March, 2023. What would you hope to have achieved by then, both of you? I'll start with you, Stephanie.
Okay. A year from now, if we could have everything that this program is set up for, it would be incredible to have a couple dozen clients that are able to come here and access their prescriptions, and feel comfortable enough with us and our program to be regular clients and have their own, have established like their own stabilization and like their own healthy patterns. So it's really just about being able to open up our doors to these clients and have them come consistently. So building a consistent client intel, I guess, is really the most important thing.
Sarah.
Yeah, so by next year, essentially, my goal would be that anybody with opioid use disorder that is ready to access outpatient MAT can go into an emergency department, leave a correctional facility, or go into a drop-in center and have an appointment within 2 to 3 days at an outpatient clinic that will not turn them down because of polysubstance use, will not turn them down because of their insurance status or concurrent mental health issues, and have access to a continuum of care when they're ready to receive it.
Now, before I wrap this up, it's important that I ask you both, is there anything that I didn't ask that you wished I had asked you?
I feel like this is always a trick question, Amy. I don't know. Do you know, I think this is still so new for me. Not harm reduction, but like this actual project that we're working on is still so new that I don't know yet what I still feel like I'm learning and discovering the parts of this role and how we are going to, you know, play all this out. So I don't know yet what other things we have to talk about. What about you?
You gave me time to think of one thing. Which would be, what are we hopeful to see within our community, say in the next year or so? And so I know that within Dutchess County, there is talk for there to be like a brick and mortar syringe exchange. I think that there's some dialogue with the local government going on with that. So a 1 year goal and I would love to see within several years also a
drop-in center.
Well, a safe consumption site would be incredible. Right. So the what I think is tangible and on the way for Poughkeepsie is for there to be a brick and mortar syringe exchange, a welcoming place where people can access the services that HBCS does offer through our syringe exchange van. And then a longer term hope for the community would be for a safe consumption site.
Now, given the ongoing success of safe consumption sites in New York City, I think I would say that it's inevitable that it will be rolled out to other areas, Poughkeepsie being one.
Yeah.
How far away do you think that is?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's feasible to say in the next 5 years. I think 5 years from now, it could be realistic. It would be really cool if it would be 2 years from now, I think. I don't know. It's got to depend on so much other things outside of us. You know, if it were Sarah and I making a decision, it would be next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But
it's all politics, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be laws that have to change and all of that stuff. But I do think that communities like here in Poughkeepsie and Kingston, where HBCS has offices as well, Ellenville, there are definitely places around here that would be really perfect sites for safe consumption sites. And I know both of us are really on board for being a part of that process.
Well, we look forward to the continued development of that. Now, before we head off, I want to just add one little caveat. You both have joined the staff in the Poughkeepsie office, and from my perspective, it's an absolute pleasure to have both of you there. You've added a sparkle to the office. So from a personal point of view, I would like to say thank you very much for coming to the office and being you. So thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Andy, thank you. Thank you for welcoming us here. I think that you're a part of that.
You're definitely a sparkle in the office.
Yeah.
Now, stop it now. You're embarrassing me. Can you see my face going red?
Mine is, for sure. You can't see that over the radio. But.
Well, thank you both very much for taking time out to speak to us. And we wish you every success in your endeavors.
Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you for having us on your show.
That's all we have time for today. Before we go, I would like to thank Sarah Santos and Stephanie Tedeschi for taking the time to come on the show and share some valuable information with our listeners. Tune in next time to Honestly from HVCS in order to meet more people doing what they can to improve your quality of life and encourage a healthy Hudson Valley. If you like this show, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your favourite podcasts. Learn more about our free services at www.hudsonvalleycs.org or find us on social media. HVCS is a division of Cornerstone Family Healthcare. Goodbye.